Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
So how do you increase your fear of God? Well, obviously, enjoyment of God is the key. But let me just suggest another thing, too. Use fear of people, godly people, as training wheels for fearing God. And here's what I mean by that. There's a good kind of fearing people. How many of you really struggle with your, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you really struggle a lot with caving into your enslaving sin on Sunday morning in this room at church? We haven't had a lot of cases where somebody's watching a lot of porn during the sermon in the seat right there, you know, on their laptop. It just doesn't happen. It's not even a temptation. Why? Well, because all these people are around. You get a guy, you know, he's on his laptop and he's looking at all this garbage online and he's like guilty. And he's like, man, I gotta stop. And he's hitting buttons. I gotta stop. I can't stop though. I don't have the strength. I can't do it. All of a sudden, his wife is walking in. Boom! Slams that thing shut. That fast. He's got all the self-control he needs. In 1 second, he's done. You know? How can he suddenly have that much self-control? Because he's afraid of the consequence of what it's going to do in that relationship. A woman was struggling with anger. She can't control her anger. She's yelling at her husband and screaming and yelling at her kids and screaming at them. And she's losing control. She's like, I just lose it. I don't have any control. I just lose it. I don't know what's wrong with me. And she's yelling and screaming. And the phone rings. Hello? Oh, pastor? Hi. And she's just, you know, soft and courteous and respectful. And where does that self-control come from all of a sudden? There is a sinful fear of man. We know that. There's a wrong way to fear man. When God says to go this way and man is pressuring me to go that way and I care more about their opinion than about God's opinion, I care more about, I don't want to displease them than about displeasing God, so I go that way instead of God's way, that's the sinful kind of fear of man. However, when pressure from their expectations lines up with God's will, because they're godly people, then that can just assist me in fearing God, having those people there. And so caring about what they think is actually a good thing. This is a good kind of fearing man. So to the degree that a human being has the same attitudes as God, then their assessment of me should matter to me, right? I don't care what ungodly people think of me, but I do care what, like, you think of me. I care what the elders here think of me. I care to the degree that someone knows the will of God. I care about that person's opinion. And so here's how this applies in enslaving sin. Use exposure to help you fight against temptation and sin. Expose your life. Ephesians 5:11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. And so there's that whole section there is talking about bringing things out into the light. Bring your whole life right out into the light. Expose it. 2 Corinthians 4:2, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception. By setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So Paul even did this. He exposed his life to people. There's shame connected with exposure of sin. And that shame is painful, and it can be a great tool to help you fight against enslaving sin. Make a commitment to yourself. And I think this is absolutely critical. I doubt anybody will have success in ever escaping an enslaving sin unless they make a commitment that every time they stumble, they're going to confess it honestly to an accountability partner. I think if you do everything else we talk about and you don't do that, I don't see you having victory. This is just critical. You've got to come out into the light. You can't stay in the dark and get victory over this thing. It's just not going to happen. It's like we were talking about in our little small group. There's safety in numbers, even spiritually. There's safety in numbers. And Lone Rangers are dead rangers. This is tough because I know very many, many, many people want to do everything except this. They'll do everything we talk about in this whole class except this. They just don't want to come clean. They don't want anybody to know how bad it really is in there. And so they're going to fight alone, and they're going to lose. And all of you had the courage to come here. That's impressive. When we first proposed this class, some people said, who's ever going to come to that? They'll be embarrassed to even come. It's great that you came. I think there might be some people watching the video who they just think, man, I could never, ever show my face in a class like that. And I'm certainly not in the small groups and expose my weakness and my sin. You keep that sin in the dark and you'll lose. You know, Ephesians says those who get drunk at night. Those who sin, sin at night. There's a reason for that. There's a reason why there's a lot more crime at night than in the day. When it's exposed, it's not as much temptation. So you got to decide what's more important to you, your pride or your purity. Will you sacrifice your image at church in order to have victory over sin? Or will you sacrifice your holiness in order to keep your image intact? What's more important to you? And here's the point that a lot of people don't realize. The people in church will typically be more impressed with you when you're honest than when you're seemingly perfect. How many of you are impressed with these people who walk around and they seem like they're perfect? It's not impressive. It's not impressive. People can't stand people like that. But how many of you love it when you see somebody that's just honest? They're just genuine. You know that what you see is what you get with them, you know? And yeah, there's some ugliness there, but man, they're just so real. Man, that's a breath of fresh air, isn't it? We love people like that. There's a very helpful little book that I would recommend all of you read. It's called Finally Free by Heath Lambert. It's a book about how to fight against enslavement to pornography, but the principles apply to any enslaving sin. So it doesn't matter if it's pornography or anything else. And there's a helpful chapter 3, on accountability. He's got some really good principles there about accountability, and I would recommend that. I'll give you a few of my own. Let me just give you a few pointers on accountability. First, don't ever ask somebody to hold you accountable. That's not your accountability partner's job. You make yourself accountable. Nobody can hold you accountable. Nobody can hold you accountable. Your accountability partner can ask you questions. Did you do this? Did you do that? You can fudge the answer. You can give answers that are vague. If you're not going to be honest, there's no one who can make you be honest if you're not going to just expose your heart. Don't put it on them to make you accountable. You have to make yourself accountable to them. Be accountable. To make a commitment that every time you stumble, you're going to confess to your accountability partner the same day. The same day. And confess it all. Be totally honest. If you start finding ways to confess that don't really hurt, you don't find it all that hard to confess, you know, there's no shame, you're probably just being too vague. And that's not going to be helpful. That's not going to deter you from getting into the sin. Say what you did and for how long and what your motives were and what you were, you know, trying to do and why and all. I mean, just put it all out there. Just put it all out there. I can tell you there's times when everybody's around and you're not tempted. All of a sudden you're alone in the dark and you're really, really tempted. But if you know, oh man, if I do this, I'm going to have to, right away, I'm going to have to tell my accountability partner, it's like someone's still with you. So I strongly, strongly urge you, find an accountability partner and just make this commitment. I'm going to confess. Here's the things I'm going to confess. I'm going to confess on the same day they happen. Now, that in itself might not be enough either. The more times that you confess to your accountability partner and the more times they respond with understanding, the less painful it is each time. And after a while, you get used to it and it's not that traumatic anymore. So in addition to an accountability partner, I would suggest as much as possible, live your whole life in the open. Just have a lifestyle of exposure. Don't be a private person. You can't afford to be, if you're struggling with an enslaving sin, you cannot afford to be a private person. I don't think any Christian can afford to be a private person, but especially not if you're struggling with an enslaving sin. It's just foolish for an addict to have long segments of time where nobody knows where he is. Right? It's just dumb. His credit card statements should, his bank activity should just be an open book to his spouse or his accountability or a close friend or somebody. Just an open book, anytime. Put Life 360 on your phone. You ever heard of Life 360? Great app. Our family has this just so we know where everybody is. It's actually a handy app, whether you're struggling with sin or not, just so you know where people are. If it's a situation where you're going to be tempted to go somewhere where you shouldn't go, just put Life 360 on your phone. And then you and your spouse can just at any time just look and see. You can even go back and see a map of where you've gone. You know, with pornography, accountability software, I've got stuff on my computer where I've got two or three different programs. I was telling the guys, I got two or three different programs to where they just, if there's any keyword that triggers the thing, then it'll send an email to my accountability partner who will see the URL or a screenshot or whatever. And I've got two or three of those programs, and they just send. And I don't even remember. I got them on there. I don't even remember what all triggers them and what all, I've kind of forgotten. So, which is good. It's exactly what I wanted. So I never know what, if there's anything questionable, someone might see it. It's just like having my accountability partner, my wife, standing, looking over my shoulder while I'm on my computer all the time. That has a way of taking temptation away. It really does. You know, just live in the open. Just make your life out in the open as much as you can. Don't have private email that your spouse doesn't know, you know, can't see, doesn't have the password to or whatever. Live in the open. Live out in the light. How do you increase fear? The way to increase fear is to increase your love. So that goes back to enjoying God. But also, use your fear of people as training wheels. Your fear of godly people as training wheels to help you fear God. God gave us that accountability for that reason. So use it. Take advantage of accountability. Make yourself accountable.
Okay, from today's podcast, the most important question you should be able to answer at this point is, what does this mean? This statement, no one can hold you accountable. You have to make yourself accountable. It's critical that you understand that statement, such an important principle on accountability. If you don't understand that, accountability isn't going to help you. So you got to ask yourself, how honest are you willing to be with an accountability partner? The other question for you to wrestle with now is this. What are some areas in your life where exposure could help in your battle against sin? The Lord said to come into the light, to live in the light in Ephesians 5. What are some areas in your struggle that have been kept in the dark that need to be exposed and brought out into the light? You won't be able to kill them while they stay in the dark.
Thank you for listening. Our prayer is that this season of the Food for Your Soul podcast will help you tap into deeper and deeper experiences of the fruit of the Spirit, especially self-control. Your thoughts about the materials in these studies are important to us, and they may be helpful for others as well. A link to this podcast is posted on the Food for Your Soul Facebook page every weekday morning. You're invited to follow that page and post your reactions to that day's content. Your perspectives might be just what someone else needs to gain insight. And when a session is especially helpful, feel free to click on the share button so others can find it too.
This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.